Phoneboy Speaks, episode 84, Developers Gotta Eat. My friends at the Social Converse did a 50-plus minute episode on App Store economics, i.e. the economic and other forces driving the App Store and the prices and such. I feel I can do a little bit better job, and I can do it in a much shorter time. So not to discredit their effort, it's just a little longer. And for the Phoneboy Speaks crowd, this is a much shorter episode, and it won't be as in-depth, I'm sure, but I think I can do it in 5 minutes. We'll see if I can hold to that. Actually, the concept of app stores is not new at all, and in fact, it's something that Nokia pioneered many, many, many moons ago. And I remember at Nokia that they had this thing called download on their phones, and it was very similar to the sort of the standard app store of today, but it was, it was convoluted in many ways. There were different operator variants, there were country variants, and so it was not as standard and put together. And, you know, Nokia, in the later times of Symbian, and also did their they did a more unified store experience, and it got better. But Apple really brought the concept forward when they had launched it on iOS, and obviously it took off, and they really made the concept popular. And as more applications became available on the iOS platform, and also in Google, something else happens. Is the sort of the laws of supply and demand. There's so many apps that do so many things that in order to sort of differentiate between application A and application B, well, the prices came down. And in fact, the sort of the bottom price, other than being free, is like 99 cents. That's, you know, Apple sort of set that bar right there. And there's a whole lot of apps that consequently have come out that are free or have 99 cents. And the free apps may have ads. There also may have in-app purchases, and there seems to be a ton of those. And so a big game app, for example, might launch for free or 99 cents. But in order to move along in the game, they may make it difficult not to get in-app purchases to make the experience better. And so rather than doing a big upfront purchase of $10 or $5 or even 99 cents, they'll make the app free, but make it so that if you really want to play the game, that you're going to end up having to do an in-app purchase. And I'm sort of mixed about that. But there's the other side of that, really, is that Apple and Google don't really provide any sort of paid upgrade capability. The only way you can do a paid upgrade is to essentially release a new app, which was done by Twitterific as one example of an app that I'm aware of that they said, okay, we're just going to launch a new version, and if you want it, you're going to have to buy a new one. That makes sense because, let's face it, there's no way to collect sort of support costs, and support's not free, right? It costs app developers to make applications and to gather bug reports and interact with people. So it's not free. And the apps have gotten so cheap that unless you sell just, you know, a metric ton of them, right, you're not going to make any money. Because, I mean, you know, Apple and Google take 30% of the price, of course, and they provide infrastructure in the store. So, you know, I'm not saying that they're making a lot of money at it. They're probably close to break even, although now there's enough volume, I'm sure they're making at least a little bit of money on it. You know, developers got to eat, so but the economics are such that you can't sell a $50 or $100 app like, you know, I mean, I used to buy those apps many years ago. And part of it was that it was so difficult to get apps. I mean, you had to go into a store and buy it or find it in a magazine or online or whatever and had to download it or have it shipped to you in a box. Now it's just on an app store. It's a few clicks. It's really easy. And it's difficult to justify for a lot of people spending that kind of money on an app. And it's, you know, the phenomenon of free and 99 cent apps, I mean, from a user perspective, means I'm willing to try apps that if they were $10 or $20 or something, I probably wouldn't do it. Because, you know, if it's free and it didn't end up meeting my needs, well, I just delete it and I'm done. If the app was 99 cents, I kind of look at it and I go, well, if that app wasn't so great, then I'm only out 99 cents. Now, it's amazing what that 99 cent barrier is. It's actually, there's a psychological barrier there. Once it's over 99 cents, I think about it a little bit more. And, you know, and I realize that, you know, the developers got to eat, they've got to make money. Unless they sell a ton of these apps, they're not going to make a whole lot of money based on how much time they spend. And I know what developers can spend time doing. I mean, just on the few projects I've done, not on iOS development, but just for other things, I mean, you could easily spend days and days and days and weeks and months and to have an issue that you to not be able to sell it. I mean, it's hard to get attention. There's so many apps in so many categories. I mean, how can people find the exact app? I mean, there's a lot of apps with very similar names, and you have to search by developer. You have to know the developer. I mean, it's really hard to find specific types of apps, and particularly in specific categories. I actually find finding app.net apps on the iPhone or the iTunes store difficult. They seem to use different names in the searches, and so unless you know the name of the app, then good luck trying to find it. And that's another problem that we have is discoverability. But anyway, that's my brief summary of sort of app store economics, and the sad reality that developers, they don't write code for free, and they gotta eat.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Phoneboy Speaks. You can find all of the past episodes, all of the ways to subscribe to the podcast, and all of the ways to contact me on the web at phoneboyspeaks.phoneboy.com.